We're gonna rock till your body gets sore. Bust it!
Recorded live on DementiaRadio.org, it's the Funny Music Podcast, brought to you by TheFump.com, where you can download new free comedy songs twice a week. Now, here's your hosts, Devo Spice and the great Luke Ski.
Hey, Devo Spice!
Hey, the great Luke Ski.
We got Mark Gunn in the house.
What we do indeed have Mark Gunn.
And the mighty combo of Robert Lund and Spaff.
Hello, well, everybody.
There. Hey.
You guys should just get like surgically joined together so that we can be Robert Lund and Spaff.com at the same time.
It's pretty much what it's become anyway.
Kind of like kind of like Zaphod Beeblebrox on on Hitchhiker's Guide, just a two-headed, you know, dude.
More right. like the human centipede. That's us.
You know, they just released a trailer for the Human Centipede Part 2.
I know. I can't wait to not see it.
I need to see the first one. I love horror films. I'm dying to see it. So
you'll never be the same.
I'll let you know how it is.
Please don't.
Welcome to episode 69 of the Funny Music Podcast.
69, dude! Whoa.
I was totally going to do that.
Sorry.
For October 6, 2011.
Yes.
So is that real?
I was totally going to do it, and I figured, nah, he's not going to do it. And I was hoping we'd do it at the same time, but blew it.
Nine, are you making that up, or is that real?
No, it is actually episode 69.
Wow. Wow, this is a landmark, momentous occasion. Happy to be here.
I'm happy too. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, as we usually start off the show, we ask Devo Spice the question, what have you been up to since last week?
Well, Sunday was so we had a big party with all the relatives and stuff and lots and lots and lots of food. I'm dreading tomorrow's weigh-in. It's going to be bad. I finally got paid for this freelance gig I did last spring. So I've taken some of that money and I've put it towards upgrading my studio. So I bought two new computer monitors for my computer and bought a new subwoofer for my sound system here. It's like a professional studio monitor subwoofer because I have professional studio monitor speakers, but there's no bass in them. So it's tough to mix hip hop when you can't hear any bass. So I haven't used those in a while. The subwoofer should arrive tomorrow, and I'm greatly looking forward to that because I'm working on a new song and I'm anxious to get it done. And I wanted to ask you, have you watched Terra Nova?
No, I set my TiVo for it, but it didn't record it because I think there's two other shows happening on Monday night. So, you know, interestingly enough, two of the new shows I started watching have both been canceled. I mean,
which ones?
The Playboy Club and Free Agents.
Okay.
But yeah, I meant to watch Terra Nova, and I kept overhearing people talking about it at Archon, basically saying, you know, it's like, you know, Jurassic Park meets Lost meets Earth 2, and that, you know, there wasn't.
Yeah, and it's not as good as any of those.
Yeah.
Ow.
It's weird. It's like, I want to like it, but I just can't.
Well, it's got dinosaurs. Of course you want to like it.
The dinosaurs are awesome. You know, the dinosaurs are the best part of the show. The characters, the humans, they're just dumb and totally one-dimensional. And
so more acting from the dinosaurs, less from the humans. Got it.
Exactly. The CGI dinosaurs are better actors than the people. I mentioned this on Facebook. I really want to do like a Riff Tracks type thing where like every week I'll release an accompanying, you know, mocking audio thing that people can play along. They can watch the episode, but I don't have time for such things. The only other thing that happened yesterday, as I'm sure you know, Steve Jobs died.
Yeah.
And that affected me more than I expected it to. Only a handful of celebrity deaths have really affected me, but Steve Jobs had, I mean, I started programming on an Apple II Plus when I was 9.
Wow.
And I've used computers ever since. I discovered the Macintosh when I went to college. My wife and I have each had a couple different iPods. and we've had two or three different Macs. At one point, we had seven working Macs in this house, you know, dating back to a Mac SE. I'm still using an 11-year-old G4 right now, which I'm going to start saving up money so I can replace it. But so, yeah, we're a very Apple-centric household here. And I knew he was sick, and I knew he wasn't going to be around much longer, but I figured he'd at least have to, be able to enjoy his retirement for a year or two. You know, he just retired last month and he died yesterday, so kind of feel bad for him for that. But did you see the Onion's article, the Onion tribute to him?
I just read the headline and thought it was funny.
It's brilliant. Yeah, that was one of the best tributes that I've seen to him. It was very fitting.
What did it say?
Last man in America who knew what the fuck he was doing passes away, or something like that.
Awesome.
Bleak.
So here's the thing. My computer is a PC, my phone is a Droid X, and my MP3 player is a Creative Zen player. I have no emotional connection to Steve Jobs. I'm sorry he's gone. I know he did a lot, but I can't afford the stuff he's made over the past 20 years.
I can't either, but I'm a music marketer, and I adore the man.
Look at it this way. Microsoft stole the operating system for the PC that you use. Google stole the operating system for the phone that you use. So if Steve didn't do any of the work for Apple, actually, it's Apple stole it from Xerox, but that's another story. Yeah. They all just stole from everybody. But
I have one word for Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Pixar.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, now I feel bad. Thank you for providing me with emotional resonance.
You're welcome. I knew that's all it would take.
He was also the largest stockholder in Disney. So.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, when Disney bought Pixar, he became the biggest stockholder in Disney.
Wow.
So, what have you been up to, Luke?
Went to Archon in St. Louis. Had a lovely time there. I have a loyal fan base that shows up for my Sunday afternoon concert every year. In fact, they show up early so that they can get good seats.
Nice.
And it's great because, like, you know, I make between songs when I'm talking to the audience and shticking, it's like, you know, I'm making references, or even the audience is making references to shtick from previous year's concerts. Like, this one time I made a joke about Pavlovian, like, I wanted to stop and take a beat and, you know, rest for a second and take a drink of the whatever drink I had on stage in, like, a big, you know, cup with a straw in it. You know, fast food type of thing. So I just made some joke about the audience Pavlovian response is applause every time I take a drink from this cup, you know, and that was the shit that went through that whole show. So during my show, when I stopped to grab a quick swig from my Mountain Dew bottle, people started applauding while I was drinking the Mountain Dew. It's like, wow, this is awesome. So the only downside of it is I made less money there than I usually do, which was really surprising considering I have a new album out. So I don't know if you can blame the economy or whatever, but, you know, the folks there were great. I had a fun time. Sarah came and she got to go visit her brother in the new physical therapy place where he's staying for the next 60 days or so. He's, you know, going to be, you know, getting as much physical therapy as he can in that time. So she got to go see her family. I wasn't able to get away from my table to do that, but she did, and that was what was important. So, but yeah, you know, had a great time. And yeah, I spent this week, you know, trying to figure out, okay, now what do I do? Oh yeah, I got to prepare for Con and the Cob, and, you know, and then I ended up spending probably too much time procrastinating and watching things on my TiVo, but, I've been cracking the whip on myself over the past 2 days. Oh, and then Carrie, I thought Carrie and I weren't going to do a podcast, and then we ended up doing one yesterday, so we posted that to the Bad Rapport feed, so episode 50, which, you know, for episode 50, we should have planned something. It was the most unprepared podcast we've ever recorded. I grabbed a few news stories for News of the Stupid, and then comments. Okay, let's just go. We'll figure out what we're doing as we go along, so...
Hey, it worked. I listened to it today.
So, yeah. And there's another thing I want to talk about, but I imagine you've probably put that in the outline for the news, so I'll save that for later.
So, yeah.
So, yeah. Hey, it's time to talk to Mark Gunn.
Hell yeah.
I tell you, Jay Kitty was very pleased to find out you were going to be on the show tonight.
Cool.
She's hanging out over in the Dementia Chat channel.
Hi.
Everybody in the Dementia Chat channel, wave at Mark right now.
Right. I'm waving at you too. Hey. Oh, thanks. Yeah. Hey, good to see you. Right. Hey, oh, how's it going?
So we've made a recent change to the format of the show. Now we play the songs first and then we talk about them afterwards. So do you want to give us just a brief intro to your song?
A Well-Dressed Hobbit?
Yes.
That would be the new song. It was written by Re-Sheridan Rose and yours truly. And it's sort of a tribute to those hobbits out. It's our version of Rattlin Bog, you know, way ho the Rattlin Bog, bog down. And it's one of those list songs that go faster and faster and faster and faster. And so I was talking to Re about how we should, you know, when I was putting together the new album, Don't Go Drinking with Hobbits, which comes out on October 22nd, I was trying to come up with an idea as song like Rattlin Bog, and she wrote these just wonderful lyrics. I like Hote Coat myself. you don't get to hear that often. So
cool.
Or what is it? Gert Shirt. Yeah, there's another good one. So it's
all right.
Fun.
Well, let's play the track and then we'll talk about it some more. Here it is, Mark Gunn, A Well-Dressed Hobbit on the Funny Music Podcast.
A well-dressed hobbit braids his toes because it is the fashion. No, a well-dressed hobbit braids his toes to go down to the pub, you know. And then he puts on his best trows because it is the fashion. No, with his best trows and braided toes to go down to the pub, you know. Fastens up his braces tight to make sure that his trews hang right. Braces tight, his best trows and braided toes to go down to the pub, you know. Next he fastens up his shirt with buttons sewn by Grandma Gert. His Gert shirt braces tight, his best trows and braided toes to go down to the pub, you know. Next he tops it with the vest, which pulls real tight across his chest. Best his shirt, braces tight, his best trows and braided toes go down to the pub, you know. And in one pocket, watch and chain, so he'll know to come home again. Watch best shirt, braces tight, his best trows and braided toes to go down to the pub, you know. In the other pocket, his pipe goes to make the smoke rings that he blows. Smoke ring pipe, watch for shirt, braces tight. His best trows and braided toes go down to the pub, you know. And with his pipe, he has long leaf, cause no tobacco leads to grief. Long leaf pipe, watch for shirt, braces tight. His best trows and braided toes that go down to the pub, you know. And overall, he wears a coat to make sure his coat sure is hope. His hope coat, long leaf pipe, watch best shirt, braces tight. His best trows and braided toes to go down to the pub, you know. And last, he often adds a hat so his hair stays nice and flat. Tight hope coat, long leaf pipe, watch best shirt, braces tight. His best trows and braided toes to go down to the pub, you know. And in one hand he totes a mug, the better for his ale to glug. Mug high coat, long leaf pipe, watch best shirt, braces tight. His best trows and braided toes to go down to the pub, you know. And finally his walking stick to keep his footing on the brick. Walking stick, mug, hat, coat, long leaf pipe, watch best shirt, braces tight. His best trows and braided toes to go down to the pub, you know.
Hooray!
Yay!
So after that song went up, I got it stuck in my head for the rest of the day.
Nice.
But I didn't know the words. So all I heard was Mark's voice in my head going, just all day long. I'm like, what the hell is he saying? What the hell is he saying? And so I had to go back and listen to it a couple more times.
Does it remind you of anything? What's that? There's an old folk song that always reminds me of. I'm totally drawing a blank on it, but it's so yeah, I know what you mean. But you could sing that in case you can't remember, you know, my lyrics.
I'll sing the other song I can't remember in case I can't remember the lyrics.
That
of this
would be
one.
Perfect.
That works great.
Awesome. This works out. We're working together here. Good.
So before we get into the song too much, really quick, how's your daughter doing?
She is doing great. She had her big surgery 2 weeks ago today, actually, and we just went in for a 2-week checkup, and the doctor was like, you know, everything looks perfect. But what was really weird is that after 4 days, she was already walking, which kind of blew me away. I'm like, why are you walking? Stop it. We were trying to stop her. But the doctors say, you know, if she wants to walk, she can walk. So we have been letting her walk, and now she's, and that was assisted walking, you know, holding her hand and whatnot.
Yeah.
And now she's starting to walk on her own. So, and, you know, 2 weeks out of open heart surgery, it's just mind blowing. You
know? Wow. Is it for the surgery, or is there going to be more?
After this, she has to get a valve replaced. Oh. But that's like every, the doctor said anywhere between 2 and 20 years. So, you know,
It's
a kind of a wide range of stuff. So we just don't know. But there will be a little bit, but not a whole lot. That's what it boils down to.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad she's doing good.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Me too.
Okay, back to the funny.
Yeah, the funny.
So the song.
Yes.
This song has more production on it than I'm used to hearing from you with like other instruments and stuff.
Yeah. When I was putting the whole album together, I decided to do something different, which was to try to collaborate with other musicians. And so that is Nathan Deese on banjo. And I think there was some bass. And I should be beaten with a stick because I'm drawing a blank on my bass player's name. I know what it is. I know it. Daniel Briggs. Yes, he's with a group called Dogs and Doublets. But yeah, so I put out a call to fans on Facebook and said, who wants to record on this? And got a whole bunch of musicians who volunteered, jumped at it. A lot of Renaissance Festival musicians in particular who contributed music for the whole album, and yeah, those two contribute on this one. So yeah,
cool. That sounds great.
Yeah, thank you. The whole album sounds good. I mean, this is the first kind of big production album that I've done. I mean, where I did all the mixing and mastering for a bunch of instruments, which I don't like, I must say. I need to hire an engineer to do this in the future. But it hasn't been too bad, as long as I'm doing it in small quantities. The problem is wrapping my head around 20 songs. I just can't do it with 20 songs and trying to, take.
And this is a whole album of Hobbit drinking songs, right?
Yes. It is an album of Hobbit drinking songs called Don't Go Drinking with Hobbits, of course.
I'm trying to wrap my head around the concept of a whole album of Hobbit drinking songs.
Well, imagine a whole weekend of it, because I just got back from a long-expected party there and back again, which was a whole weekend of Hobbit drinking songs and stuff. So I went drinking with Hobbits this weekend. It was awesome.
You didn't learn your lesson, did you?
No. Well, if you listen to the lyrics, I don't learn it in the song either.
That's true.
Yeah, it was a blast, though.
So is toe hair braiding a common practice among Hobbits?
Yeah, actually, it goes back to the Great Took. Way back when he was that started the whole braiding phenomena, and he passed it down from generation to generation, and it's really common now. You'll see more and more. It's kind of losing some of the edge these days. You know, they used to do really cool things. You know, like make little dragons out of the toe braids, but not anymore. Just kind of generic. A little generic, you know. Now they're doing more dreads, you know? Dread toe hair. That's just not I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I'm a little bit old fashioned.
Cool. So when was the album coming out?
October 22nd.
22nd, okay, cool.
It would have been on September 22nd, which was But it turned out September 22nd was Bilbo Baggins and Frodo Baggins' birthday.
No way, because it's my anniversary.
And it turns out that was also the day my daughter went for surgery. So
there you go.
I am not going to release it on that day. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
Hey! Sorry, I was silent there. Sarah just got home, and I was talking to her. So
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
So, anyway.
Luke missed everything you said. You just got to repeat the whole thing.
I was giving her the quick recap on your daughter. So anyway.
Yeah, I really appreciate all your y'all's support. Y'all have been just amazing. It really has helped a lot. So thank you very much.
Well, you know. It was like, you know, can we really get away with parodying We Are the World without doing something charitable? And then Devo said, Devo said, let's give it to Mark. And I'm like, capital idea.
Oh, thank y'all. Thank y'all very much.
No
big
problem.
Surprise and great pleasure. So.
Cool.
Yeah. So, how old is your daughter now?
She is 11 months.
11 months. Just, okay.
Oh, 11 months and 2 weeks about. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I can't imagine what you must be going through. I mean, because when my daughter was born, she spent a week in the hospital. She was turning blue when she was crying. They didn't know what was wrong with her, and they just, you know, it took them a while to figure it out. Actually, it took me yelling at a pediatrician and then transferring the baby to another hospital where they did know what was going on to figure it out.
Princeton Plainsboro.
that was relatively minor. I mean, I can't imagine what you must be going through with all the surgeries and everything.
Pretty awful, I gotta say. We were just talk about stress, you know.
Yeah.
And it was, of course, you know, we knew that there was a big surgery coming, but it was going to take us a year to get there.
Yeah.
So it's even worse.
It's like dragging it out, you know.
Yeah, it's like, okay, yay. Good. So we were mostly trying to block it out for the past year, but eventually it caught up with us, and we were like, okay, let's – and finally they were saying, let's give it the surgery now. And oh, God, I'm so thankful and so much more relaxed and everything. So, yeah. As you well can imagine.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So do you have any tour dates coming up?
I'm going to be at the Louisiana Renaissance Festival in November. I just finished, like I said, this Hobbit gathering. And now it's a little bit of a break before I do that. And then I got to figure out what I'm doing next year.
I just have to ask, Mark, what is a Hobbit gathering? What?
what happened was a few years back, obviously the Brobdingnagian and Bards, my old group, we had put out an album, Memories of Middle Earth, and had played at Dragon Con. A pair of people, Tim White and JP Cummings, I think. They dress as Bilbo and Gandalf. And Gandalf is he looks just like the Gandalf from the cartoon. It's totally awesome. And Bilbo's he just has the character. He's down to a T. It's just a wonderful little characters. And they decided they wanted to put together this Lord of the Rings tribute. So it was basically 4 days in Kentucky because there's a place called Shaker Village in Kentucky, which it's the Shire. It's lush. It's green. It's got these rolling hills and this big barn that serves as like the halls of Gondor or the Rivendell or whatever. And they have this great tree where we sat 144 chairs, a gross apiece of hobbits, for Bilbo Baggins' birthday party 3 years ago, and then we repeated it again this year. But it's a tribute to Lord of the Rings, to J.R.R. Tolkien's work. There's a few lectures that went on there, but there's mostly it was just a little bit of relaxation, a lot of geeking out on Tolkien stuff. So people dressing as hobbits, elves. The first night is Elf Night. The second night is the Halls of Rohan. The third night is the third night would be it was Bilbo Baggins' birthday party, and the first night was I guess actually the introduction night. But then yeah, Bilbo Baggins' birthday party. Or this time it wasn't a birthday party; it was just a party. Bilbo was back in town. The hobbit is back in town.
No, it's back in town.
Although it was kind of cool because, okay, so each night after all the events, we all went back to the Prancing Pony Pub and had even more fun playing music. I had, like, Samantha Gilogley, who plays fiddle on the album, and Jamie Hauser, who plays Balron. We sat down in this little pub, and then there's this other gal who started it all. She had a whistle, a flute, and started playing some tunes, and I sang some songs and threw it in, and it was just this big, I mean, it was just straight out of the Lord of the Rings, you know, the when they go to the Prancing Pony, and you see everyone partying, you know, drinking and singing and dancing, and it was just totally awesome, and obviously even cooler when it's all, you know, dressed as hobbits and elves and dwarves and goblins, and it's pretty cool.
So here's the question. Do you get, like, Liv Tyler looking elves there, or is it all a bunch of guys who look like Gollum?
actually, yes, you do, actually. There are some who are, I mean, it's you have all shapes and sizes, so there are some people who just totally fit the role. Our Galadriel out there, she does an awesome, she's, I mean, they do some reenactment stuff during the evening, the evenings, and she did this, you know, recitation from the movie that was just brilliant. It just you know, totally fits the mood. And then they had some skits they're parodying, and people, again, they're dressed as the characters, and you have Boromir trying to stealing the ring and running off, and only to find out it was, you know, a fake one. You know, it's comedic skits. You know, it's just a lot of fun. a lot of people fit the characters really well.
Huh. Now, will she braid my toe hair for me?
I think Galadriel will not braid your toe hair, but you probably could get Rosie to do it if she doesn't find Sam. But just don't. Let
so
Sam
you know. Braid each other's. You don't braid your own toe hair.
You know, you to each their hair. Own. To each their own. You know?
And is toe being used as a euphemism here? Or is-
Oh, please say it is. I mean, or not.
Just wanted to clarify.
Thank you.
All right. So do we have any other things to discuss, or should we move on to the promo?
That's it for me. Let's do the promo.
All righty. Here's this week's promo.
Hi, my name's Kenny, and I'm a fanboy. Do you like Star Trek? Star Wars? Do you consider yourself a brown coat? Are you into cosplaying? LARPing? A furry? Can you speak Klingon? Do you know all the doctors and their companions? Can you not get enough of steampunk? Do you just love Disney? If you do, then this podcast might be for you. Confessions of a Fanboy. Each episode, I have a one-on-one conversation with a fanboy or fangirl. We'll talk about your fandom, why you call yourself a fan, and how you integrate it into your daily life. So come on over to confessionsofafanboypodcast.com and listen to fellow geeks talk about their love for their fandom. Confessions of a Fanboy.
Time for funny music news. Something, something, something. And now with all the toe-braiding news, Devo Spice.
In the news this week, the great Luke Ski has updated this year's top 50 poll. This will help Luke figure out what are his 50 most popular songs of all time.
Yes.
Which now takes into account his new album, Be Amused by Me. The link is over at mrpoll.com/polls/537028, and it's also linked from The Fump and from lukeski.com. And I'm sure you would like to talk about that.
Well, you covered most of it. Basically, I'm going to keep that poll going until Tuesday night at midnight, and then after that, I'll start tabulating things. And whenever myself and Sarah have the time, we'll update the list at my website. I'm anxious to see how things are doing. I keep checking. I don't want to get too obsessive with it because there's, you know, not really any reason for me to. But why don't you go on to the next news item? I'm going to see how many people have already participated.
Okay. Con on the Cob is next weekend. This is a gaming convention taking place at the Clarion in Hudson, Ohio, featuring a huge comedy music track called the Comedy Music Extravagasm, which is being run by Shoebox of Worm Quartet this year. Very quickly, the schedule is on Friday beginning at 8 p.m. We have Justice Team, Insane Ian, Soggy Potato Chips, Power Salad, Positude, and Worm Quartet, followed by about an hour of stand-up, hour and a half of stand-up. Saturday beginning at 1 p.m., we have Michael Mirth, Destiny Beard, Carrie Dalby, Max DeGroot, Nuclear Bubble Wrap, and then Carla Ulbrich, who is the music guest of honor at 4.
Hey, can I interrupt you here?
Go ahead.
I don't know if it's been properly reflected everywhere, but myself and Carrie Dalby are switching our slots. So I'll be performing on Saturday and Carrie will be performing on Sunday.
Okay.
Just so that everyone knows.
So that'll be Luke Ski at 2 on Saturday. Yep. Carla Ulbricht, guest of honor at 4, followed by Rob Balder, Shy Show, and Devo Spice. That would be me. And then the Reverend Ian Stang at 7. And then at 9 o'clock, we begin the Logan Awards, which is going to be awesome. And then Sunday morning, beginning at 11:30, we have Durwood Bowen, Carrie Dalby, Cirque du So What, and then the Dementia All-Star Request thingy for whoever's left. That's the official title. All right. Tour dates. Coming up on the 7th, which is tomorrow, we have Tom Smith at Conclave in Romulus, Michigan. On the 14th, we have the Consortium of Genius in Metairie, Louisiana, M-E-T-A-I-R-I-E. Matairie? I don't know. Begins with an M, folks. Look it up. Paul and Storm on the 15th in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And then next weekend, as I mentioned, Con on the Cob in Hudson, Ohio with a whole bunch of people. And then on the 16th, Paul and Storm in Vienna, Virginia. And cool. That's it for the news.
So, yeah, it looks like at least 32 people have participated in the poll so far.
Cool.
And the reason why I wanted to make sure it got brought up on the FumpCast is because basically because I kind of feel like, you know, the further along in my career I've gotten, like, you know, the more recent albums don't get as much love as the early stuff for some reason. So I wanted to make sure I mentioned, you know, this to the Fump fans out there so that they can vote for their all-time favorites. So some of the ones that have come out since 2007 can get a few more votes for them. So
Your old stuff was better before you sold out.
I know. Wait, I was always sold out. What are you talking about?
Yay for selling out.
Yay.
Woo-hoo!
I would totally sell out, but nobody's buying.
Mm. Well, it's a problem we all face.
Yep. So anyway, let's move on to Robert London Spaff.
Hi, guys.
Hey. Hello. Hey.
So I'm so excited to be here.
Yes. It's been a long day. Happy to be here, guys.
Me too. I just waiting on our turn. I didn't want to, like, step on any Hobbit glory.
You don't want to step on Hobbit toes. Yeah, those are big toes to step on.
Yeah.
None of that.
This show is going a lot better than the last time Spaff and I were on here. And Devo, you didn't make it. And
I didn't make it, yeah.
We had power outages, all kinds of stuff going on. So this show's going a lot better.
Yeah, so this is professional.
Yeah.
There's still time. We can screw this up real good.
Don't jinx it.
So, hi. Hey, how's it going?
So we set the dog on fire.
Yes, we did.
Why don't you introduce this one real quick, and then we'll give it a listen.
This is a parody of Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire. This is Spaff talking, by the way. A few years ago, 2007, March-ish, I was challenged by a woman to write a parody of We Didn't Start the Fire. And I said, sure, I'll get right on that. And then another guy piped in and said, and you got to get Robert Lund to record it, and it's got to go on the Fump. And said, sure, absolutely. And here we are 4.5 years later. So we're nothing if not quick and timely.
I just like the notion that when you're talking about something that happened 4 years ago and that the Fump existed then, it's like, wow, we've been around a while now.
I know. Actually, it kind of shocked me. I read his comment. And I'm like, this is a comment from 2007 saying, get this song up on the Fump. So we have been around. Awesome.
So, yes.
So we did it. And here it is. Okay. Now you can play the song.
Okay. So here it is. Thank you for helping me. Here it is. We Set the Dog on Fire by Robert London, Spaff.com.
German chocolate shepherd pie, purebred French poodle fries, box of special canine Pekingese beef, cup of Cujo Shih Tzu souffle, Rin Tin Tin Roof Sunday, frosted mini schnauzer wheats, quiche on a leash. Lassie taffy curried cur, Maltese milk and flambéed fur, creme de Clifford stir fry, dog catcher on the rye.
Border hound or collie pup, old yeller in a crock pot, T-bone with a dog tag, add it to my doggy bag.
We set the dog on fire, didn't mean to ride it, but we crispy fried it. We set the dog on fire, but we shouldn't waste it, so come on and taste it.
Baked Alaskan Malamute, eggplant Parma Marmaduke, Marley and meatloaf, Benji on the slab. Fido nut log, Oscar Mayer wiener dog, greyhound poupon, chocolate lab. Flea collared collard greens, fork of Yorkie pork and beans, English Springer spaniel spam, golden brown retriever grams, cauliflower hound cake, Shetland sheepdog shake and bake, lots of hots of opso, BBQ-I-N-G-O.
We set the dog on fire, didn't mean to do it, but we barbecued it. We set the dog on fire, was accidental, but it's great with lentils.
Rover, easy, chow chow mein, pugs in blankets baked, dane, Labrador, Thermidor, chicken poodle noodle soup, pomegranate, Iranian, Cajun Dalmatian, terriers, derriere, super duper Snoopy scoop.
Mixed nuts of mixed mutts, beagle biscuit boxer butts, I chihuahua on the cuff, shipper key, shish kebab, charboiled char pay, Betty Crocker spaniel spray, smoked and skewered Scooby Doo, really good shih tzu.
We set the dog on fire, didn't mean to light it, but we butterflied it. We set the dog on fire, somewhere in the fog, there's a nice hot dog.
I wanted a cold ending.
No way. We just have to beat that hot dog, horrible hot dog pun into your head over and over and over. It was fun pitching Robert on these lyrics, by the way. He's like, really? I have to sing mixed nuts of mixed mutts, beagle? All of that really fast? And I'm like, yeah, just keep after it. How many takes did it take you, man?
It's weird how that works, because after you do it once or twice, I mean, and you do it a lot, but then you can't get them out of your head. It just rolls off your tongue. But it seems initially when you read those lyrics, it's just going to be hard. And there were a lot of them in that song. But, you know, after you sing them a couple of times, it's not too bad. And we've had other ones like the Magic of Coney. I can't remember what that one.
Magic Veronica, Louise, Ciccone, Richie.
Yeah.
One of my challenges is to come up with lyrics that Robert can't possibly sing and see if he's able to do it. And so far, he's been able to do them all. So I got to try harder, I guess.
That's some tongue twisters.
Super duper Snoopy scoop. Sing that real fast three times.
Yeah, this is a tough song to parody. I've heard of several parodies of We Didn't Start the Fire, and only a handful of them were successful.
The first song I ever heard on the first episode of the Dr. Demento Show that I was actually able to listen to on the radio in Kansas City was We Love Barney Fife by Guns N' Moses.
Yeah, that's one of the good ones. I like that one. The other one,
Guns N' Moses, what a great name.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of Mark Jonathan Davis's early quote-unquote groups.
Well, that was him too, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
Him and
he gets around.
What was his partner, Rob Iceman Eisenberg?
Bud Latour, I think.
No, you're thinking of somebody else, I think.
You're right. No, yeah, I'm thinking of somebody else.
Yeah.
That was Mike Elliott and Bud Latour I'm thinking of. Yeah, Iceman. What was his name?
Dave Eisenberg, something like that? I don't know.
Maybe.
But yeah, there's We Didn't Start the 80s that Wild Card just mentioned in the channel. There's We Couldn't Start the Tractor.
The Tractor, yeah.
I originally did that song. In fact, I redid the bed for this song. I have an old bed that I produced back in the late 80s. When did that song come out? I don't know.
89.
Yeah, and I did it. I used it as a year-end song, and it became a tradition on a couple of radio stations around the country where we'd take a list of events that had happened every year, and we'd, you know, list them in chronological order at the end of a year to that song. But the bed was old. It was an old bed that I produced, and all the sounds were off of a keyboard. The drums, guitar, everything. I actually played on a keyboard back then. And so I thought for this, and this is a song that might be going on this new CD that Spaff and I are doing. So I grabbed my son and a guitar player and just did up a little better bed because the old bed sucked. It wasn't very good.
Well, the new one sounds very good.
Thanks, thanks. That's my my son has become quite a drummer, and I could have let him. I could let him play drums on just about anything I do anymore, but I don't because I like to play the drums. But he came in and he sat down in two takes. He just had those shorts, you know, tight drum kettle drum thing. He's playing like crazy.
Nice.
And it's fun for me if it's convenient to have other people come in, but it's so hard all the time when it has to be done like right away. And when it's up on your computer, I don't know who's listening out there, but when you have the mix up on your computer and you're right in the middle of it, you just want to get it done. You don't want to be calling another guitar player. Can you come in this weekend to do that? Anyway,
you brought in a guitar player on this one too, right?
Yeah, yeah. I've used him before once in a while. He plays in some local bands around here, an old friend from way, way back. And he just likes to come in and record. And so he came in. That's the guitar. That's not a really technical guitar part. And I should have mixed it. You know, I listened to the mix, and I should have brought it out a little bit further. So he'll probably go, where's my guitar line in there?
Oh, you can listen really hard. It's behind the dog's bark.
Yeah, I stuck it over.
Oh, guitarist.
That's how much we appreciated your work, man, as we covered it up with dogs barking.
Ouch.
So it's been
I did that. Yeah, I just thought about that same little dog bark. I went to all the trouble to tune the dog bark, so I thought I wanted to use it more than anyway.
So it's been 4 years. Did Kat ever get to hear the final product?
I don't know. I went back. I found that thread on that group. It's called.
Yeah, I looked at it. She hasn't replied since you posted about the song. So
I haven't looked to see how long it's been since she's even participated on that board. I haven't been on it for years, and so it kind of took a few people by surprise, probably when they saw a new post from me there. But I'll see if I can track down her email address. Let her know I finally met her challenge.
She probably owes somebody a dollar.
Yeah, and her name's Kat, by the way. For those of you who missed the commentary on the FUMP website, I was challenged to write this by a woman named Kat, so hence the dog thing. And
that reminds me of
I get it.
there's a somebody did a parody called Cats in the Kettle, and I can't tell you how many times people have thought that I did that song, and I was wondering if that's happened to you, Spaff. Has anyone come to you saying, hey, did you do that Cats in that Kettle song? You know.
I thought Mark Gunn did that one.
No.
Anything with Cat in the title, we just assume it's Mark Gunn, right?
No, he did Balrog in the Bog. That's the one he did.
Right. Ooh, I like that title. I'm feeling that.
No, I'll tell you what does happen, though, Luke, is that Robert and I live here in Salt Lake, and there's a used car store here called Low Book Sales, and all of their radio commercials are song parodies. And so everybody just assumes that it's song parodies in Salt Lake, so that's Robert. And so everybody's like, oh, I really like Robert Lund, but I hate those Low Book Sales commercials. You got to tell him to stop doing the Low Book Sales commercials. And I'm like, we have nothing to do with that. That's not him. Thank you.
So they're not good parodies.
Yeah, I've had to disclaim that so many times on radio shows and morning shows. It's too bad, but there are, you know, some of the ideas are clever. They're clever and they're written fairly well, but they're just not produced very well.
And then they just get played over and over and over and over. So even if they were fantastic, you'd hate them after about the 27th time.
Yeah. We had a used car commercial, and I wish I could remember like the name of the company so I could look it up on YouTube. But it was a used car lot, and it was a rap song done by the couple who owned the used car lot, who was, I don't know, early 60s couple. No sense of rhythm whatsoever.
Oh, dear.
And they put a they obviously recorded their vocals a cappella and then added a beat to the background when they produced the commercial because they weren't even close.
Oh, God.
And it's like the woman had like five beats in every line that she did, so that just made it even worse. And my wife and I both have been racking our brains to remember the name of this of the used car lot so that we could look it up and see if it's on YouTube, because it was so bad that we just want to watch it again and just laugh. The place closed down a few years ago, so I can't even go look anymore. But
yeah, you know, there are sites out there devoted to really bad local market TV
channels, and some of them are hysterical.
Hey, I just realized, have you guys been on since you met Mr. Yankovic?
Oh, no, we haven't, no. I'm still waiting for the pictures, by the way, Spaff. But
yeah, we had a professional photographer take pictures of Robert Lund and Spaff with Weird Al.
Nice.
And now we can't find the damn professional photographer to get our picture.
Well, I know the guy. I've known him for quite a while, but I just can't get a hold of him. He's not... he was the official fair photographer, and I knew him through the radio. You know, he was the radio photographer forever here in Salt Lake, so I know the guy, and he's really good. But anyway, it was really fun. I have a lot more respect for that guy after watching his show. And he was very cordial, really nice guy. I really enjoyed
meeting him. Yeah, it was cool. It was
fun.
Big line of people waiting to see him. We got in the VIP line with all of the guys who are in his, I guess, in his fan club that dress up as stormtroopers and go up on stage for the Saga Begins. And
yeah, that's the 501st. That's kind of a national stormtrooper club, and he utilizes them. You know, there's like local groups all across the country, so it's a different set of guys at every show, but they're all dressed as stormtroopers and Darth Vader and stuff. So.
So that was them. So we were in line with them. So that's, you know, that's how important we are, is we got to stand in line with the stormtroopers.
Oh, yeah. Not really. Low Cut Shorts came right out front stage and grabbed us and took us back. And we talked with him for 10 minutes or so before Weird Al.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Good old John Bermuda Schwartz. And I think that's the greatest name ever, Bermuda Schwartz. he's really a sweet guy. He's the guy that got us backstage, and while we were waiting our turn in line, he just hung out with us and talked about music on. And I got my vinyl Weird Al Yankovic's Greatest Hits autographed by Bermuda and by Weird Al. So that's going to be framed and hung up in my living room.
Cool.
Awesome.
Actually, I'm going to wear it around. I'm just going to turn it into a big necklace and take it everywhere I go.
So the question is, how much did you bribe Al to pick your songs for the Logan Awards?
Is he part of the voting?
Yeah, he's one of
all he wanted was a Fump 27 CD. That's all I wanted.
Yeah, and that's true. We gave Bermuda and Al both copies of the Fump Volume 27.
God, I wish I had known that's all he wanted. I got dozens of them. I could have given them.
You should have sent us some, Devo. Come on.
He set it down and put his coffee cup on it.
Have I told the story about trying to get the copies of the CDs so that we could get backstage? That was my whole reason. That was my whole excuse for getting us backstage, is we were going to present Al and Bermuda with copies of the Fump Volume 27, because that's the CD that has our tribute to him on it. If I could be Weird Al, right?
Yeah.
So you told me the story. I don't think you told anybody else.
Okay. So here's the story. I was corresponding with Bermuda, and I'm like, hey, we got to give you these CDs. And he said, okay, well, we'll get you backstage at the concert. And I said, all right, well, I'm going to have CDs for you. Well, I didn't have any, so I had to get Devo to mail us some. Well, Devo,
and I totally spaced. I just completely forgot.
He was right in the – you were in the middle of moving at that
point. Yeah.
So a couple days before the concert, I emailed Devo, and I'm like, hey, just wondering, you know, if you sent those. I haven't seen them yet. And he's like, oh, shit, I totally forgot. So he overnighted them. They arrived on a Saturday. I was out of town. I got back in on Monday, and the concert was Monday night. So on Monday night, the post office had closed. So I went to my P.O. box on Monday night, and instead of CDs waiting for me in my P.O. box, there was a slip saying, come to the counter and pick up your package. Well, this is like an hour before the concert, and the post office is closed. I'm like, what am I going to do? So I could hear people moving around in the back of the post office, and I just went back to the nearest door I could find and just pounded furiously on the door until I got somebody's attention. I'm like, please, please, you got to get this package for me. You don't understand. It's so important. Please. And the guy's like, you know, we're closed, sir. You're going to have to come back tomorrow. I'm like, no, really. And I begged and pleaded, and finally he's like, oh, let me see what I can do. Disappeared forever and fortunately came back with the CDs. So with minutes to spare, I was able to get the CDs and get to the concert, and that was our ticket backstage. So thanks, Devo, for getting them to me just in time to
triumphant win.
Yes, yeah. And thanks for all the stress too. It worked out.
No problem. I had so much stress, I just felt like I needed to share it with the rest of the community, you know.
And you did. No, it worked out, and it was great to meet the guy. He knew us when we got up to him. He knew who we were. He knew of some other people on the FOMP, like you, Luke, and so
that's my favorite part of the story.
I know you've been waiting for me to throw that part in. So yes, he named Luke Ski by name.
Well, yeah, but tell him what he said after that.
Yeah. Tell that guy to leave me alone.
But no, you said it was because he recognized my art on the cover. So
that's exactly right. Yes, yeah. We gave him the FOMP Volume 27, which is just covered with Lukeski's artwork, and he recognized that.
Awesome.
So good for you, Luke. And Bermuda asked about you too. So both Bermuda and Weird Al.
Well, I wrote a song about Bermuda, so that was kind of.
He mentioned that. He mentioned that was his favorite song on the tribute scene. Go figure. Song about him was his favorite song.
And, you know, since Al recommended my art so much, you had to have me do the cover for your Robert Lund album. Actually, that's a lie, but it is going to be me.
We are going to have Luke on. Luke's artwork is going to be part of the Best of Robert Lund CD. And thank you for the segue into that.
Of course. Us fans are clamoring for Robert Lund merchandise to be bought and listened to. So yes.
Yeah, it's been way too long since there's been a Robert Lund CD out, and there's never been a best of. So just in time for Christmas shopping season, we are going to have a CD out called Spaff.com presents the Best of Robert Lund, and we're going to pack it with as much music as will possibly fit on one disc. We're not going to pull a Luke and put out like a boxed set once per year. It's just going to be a single disc, and I've been working on the track listing, and Robert's been working on remixing a couple of songs for it. So there are going to be a few tracks on there that are previously unreleased, as well as some songs from the FOMP, some of our songs from before we joined the FOMP, all of the stuff that's hit it big on the Dr. Demento show. It's going to be a really good collection.
Sounds
and
awesome.
You all must buy multiple copies.
Yes.
Hey, I sold two Robert Lund CDs today.
Nice. Which ones?
Elves Gone Wild and Working in the Glory.
Sweet. Thanks for doing that.
To someone in Arizona. I still have to package them up. I got the slip right here.
Don't forget.
I won't.
So is there anything else you guys want to talk about or promote or whatever? Tour dates? Anything?
No.
Robert, you say anything about the CD, Robert?
I had a best of CD back in 98.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, but that was a long time ago. But I still sell those, so I can talk about that one, I guess. No, cool. No, I don't have any tour dates. I don't have anything to say about the CD. I did get the cuts that Bob Emmett's been involved with on some of the mixing and stuff. I got those from him today in the Dropbox, so I'm adding those to the list. And I'm just excited to do it. I don't know any more about actual CDs, but Spaff's going to run with it, and so I'm going to jump. I'm on board. It's going to be fun. I'm really excited about it.
I figure we've got to get a physical disc out before the medium is completely dead.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to know how some of the other artists' actual hard copies sell anymore over downloads, or if it's even worth doing the replicating anymore.
That's actually a really good question. Sales at shows. So.
I can't recommend making 1,000. I can tell you that.
Yeah. And anything under that, you're almost looking at CDRs. You know, it's better.
Well, we went with when we did the Cirque du Soleil album.
Yeah.
We were able to get replicated CDs 300 at a time.
Really?
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah, from Mixonic, they'll do it for you. Their minimum order is 300.
That's pretty cool. Well,
so we were like, we could probably do that. So we
does
we
that include the mastering fees and everything though, or
no? That's just the replication and printing.
Because making that pressing that master is usually part of the that's a big.
I burned it myself. Although actually, you could upload. No. Files yourself
you
too
if you yourself but no when they replicate and they press CDs they don't just they need to make a metal master, don't they?
Oh yeah, they make a metal master. Yeah, I believe that does include. Yeah, that has to include that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the guy I make my CDs through it's duplication, so they are CDRs, but he does good work. It's CD DVD Makers out of Madison, Wisconsin, and he has free shipping, and basically I've been using him since 2006, and it's really great because, with the way my life and my budget is, ordering 1,000 or something at a time just really isn't helpful. But being able to order them in like sets of, 200 at a time or even smaller, he's willing to do that. Or even, every month or two, I'll, do another restock order with him and, do kind of a mixed batch, because that's the way he can do it with his setup at home. So, basically, now that I've put out, Be Amused By Me, which is my 10th, real album, and the Greatest Hits 2 CD set I put out was the culmination of the first 5 albums. I'm basically hoping that CDs last just long enough for me to put out, the Volume 2s to cover the second 5 albums, and then by then it'll probably be all, jump drives and, digital content, so.
I don't know if that's entirely the case, though. I mean, it shows, obviously, CD sales go a lot better, but there's still something to be said about the hard copy to own, especially if there's a emotional connection. I've sort of been moving some of my stuff away from selling CDs strictly through CD Baby and selling them through PayPal on my website, just because then I can autograph them and add that little personal touch.
No, Spath brought up that same point, and I agree with that. I don't have anything against CDs. Yeah. It's just making it, monetarily making it worth the while to replicate.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a matter of gigs. If my new album, yes, I printed up 1,000 of them, and I expect in a year and a half probably I'll sell out of them. And reorder. But if it's anything that I do, there's a lot of niche albums that I do as well, like my instrumental CD or something, which I may as well just go through Kanaki, which is another great site for printing stuff.
Regardless, you still need all the artwork and the track list and stuff, and that's always really fun to put together. So it's always fun. CDs are always fun to do.
See, and I'm a collector. I like physically owning an album. I intentionally wait to buy things at stores just because I want stores to know that I still want to buy comedy albums. Like picking up Patton Oswalt's album, and stuff like that. So,
I agree. I still buy stuff on vinyl once in a while because it just looks so much better. And maybe I've got my head in the clouds, but I'm hoping with this Robert Lund best of to actually have a booklet inside with – I've never done this before, so we'll see how expensive that is. But I want to have liner notes, and Dr. Demento has agreed to participate in writing the liner notes, and I want this to be the definitive Robert Lund and Spaff collection, and I want to go all out on it. So I'm hoping this doesn't put me in the poorhouse, and we actually sell a few copies.
I came up with an idea for the liner notes for my next album, whether it's the next Devo Spice album or whether it's going to be like the Best of Sudden Death album I want to put together. I want to make like an activity book to go along with the CD, like connect the dots and things like that.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah,
I was talking. I posted on my Google Plus and about the idea of coming up with a good game that because I always thought it'd be fun having, you know, my own Mark Gunn game and but
like so a video game.
No, any sort of game. It doesn't have to be the video game. Card game, you know.
Okay.
So actually, I think they came up with a card game, which was going to be the Mark Gunn "Don't Go Drinking with Hobbits" card game, and with, you know, oh, take another pint of drink another pint of beer or something. I think it was a drinking game, actually. Is what it
sounds like. It.
Yeah. Well, that would be appropriate. Yes.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome.
Mark mentioned a cat. Take another drink.
Right.
Oh, hell. Crap.
So
halfway through the album, we're puking in the bathtub.
So yeah. Well, anyway, I wanted to. I've been very busy, but I have been meaning to go through all of the art files from all of the Fump album covers I've done, and whenever I had a bit of art that tied into one of the Robert Lund tracks, I wanted to kind of send you those art files so that you had other options for adorning the album with little images that had to do with songs or stuff.
Oh, that's cool, because we got to figure out what's going on the disc itself, what's going on the back, you know, what's going on the front, what's going on the booklet, so... Yeah. God bless you, Luke.
Sure.
Yeah, tell me about it. I do that every 2 months.
I love the fact, like, Fump Volume 28, I was very close to starting to work on this really involved front cover image, and then I found at the very last second, like, oh, Jesse Smith made a cover. It's like, what? Oh. Well, I guess I spent all Saturday afternoon planning this for nothing. and then I kind of just co-opted into the back cover and made it a lot less involved, but it still worked. So, and this is a completely random thought. I really hope that Flat 29 puts out a song on the Fump soon, because we need to have a Flat 29 song on Volume 29, because I'm OCD like that.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. October's already booked solid, so...
There could be a Sunday slot, man.
Yeah. It could. Yeah. I did just give up a Sunday slot for October, though, so there's one left if they want it.
All right. So, all right, shall we get to the jingle and then feedback?
Let's do it.
All right.
Life still sucks no matter how rich you get. Now there's a groovy station that rocks the Dimension Nation. If you wanna laugh for a day and a half, the internet is your salvation. Dementia Radio, ha ha dee dee ho ho. Funny music and stand up. I'm falling and I can't get up. Dementia Radio. Ridiculous! DementiaRadio.org.
This is the part where there's feedback.
Feedback!
Feedback, you know that segment of the show we do about now?
Feedback! Feedback!
Feedback!
We lost Spaff.
We did?
Yes.
He got killed by the feedback?
Apparently.
Back Spaff.
The power of Lund compels you.
I run my stuff through my studio, so I like
it. I'm trying to call him back. He's not answering. So.
I'll do feedback while I'm getting an echo now.
Feedback.
Apparently, I run my stuff to Robert's studio, too. We got an email from DJ Vlad, who says, speaking of videos you guys make from episode 67, when Ian asked Luke to bring up his pimp outfit, yes, I'm a bit behind, when is the video for Platform Wars coming out? It was shot more than a year ago, if I recall correctly. Yes, the video for Platform Wars was shot at PenguinCon last year. The issue is that the footage is largely not usable, according to Ian. there were lots of shadows cast on the green screen, which means that we can't properly silhouette Luke and I to the white background to map the, you know, to give us the same effect as the I'm a Mac, I'm a PC commercial. So if we're going to finish that video, we're probably going to have to reshoot it. And at this point, I don't know whether I want to reshoot it or whether I want to just move on and do something new. So I'm still debating. Thought you were going to say something, Luke.
Oh, sorry. And I'm a PC. There, I've said something.
Okay. We got a comment from Draconis, who says, first of all, Mark Gunn, congrats on your daughter pulling through and her operation, and hope everything else is smooth sailing.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Spaff, is he back?
He's not. I don't see him.
I'll try.
Not back. This is Spaff. Will you become the next Tom Smith for songs released? I don't know what that means.
I'm assuming maybe he means just that, you know, Spaff is the CYA cover your ass guy because he puts so many songs at the Fump so often between Lund and Money Shot Cosmonauts.
Maybe, yes. Devo in Cherry Hill is NJCC Collectors Club, which will have Larry Kenny, the voice of Lion-O from the 86 series, there. Are you going? No, I'm not. I haven't heard anything about this con, which isn't surprising since cons that happen in New Jersey are never advertised in New Jersey. I don't understand this phenomenon, but I don't know what's happening in my own state. So, and he also says, Luke, there is a site you can catch most of the episodes of Transformers Prime at. Look up Predacon Empire for it. So I guess it's PredaconEmpire.com would be my guess.
Something like
later
that.
All.
So yeah, Draconis, I've at this point I have seen, thanks in part to the help of the disc you sent me, I've seen the first five episodes of Transformers Prime, so I now know, like, okay, this was the beginning of the series. That's going to be released on DVD sometime soon. And since then, I've caught random episodes. You know, they're at about, like, 26 episodes, and I've seen probably a third of them or so just in complete out of order. So, but overall, I'm liking the series, and I'll save more comment on it for the next time Kyle is on when we do the segment Kyle and Luke Talk About Cartoons. But yeah, so there. Next.
And we got an email from Lee Seitz who says, Fumpers, on the odd chance Mark Gunn makes it tonight, it's been too long. I hope Kenzie is doing well and you'll therefore be able to grace us with more songs. So see, Mark, everyone's thinking of you.
Yay.
Robert Lund and or Spaff. That was certainly one of the better We Didn't Start the Fire parodies I've heard. I caught the origin of why he parried it, but I hope Devo covered the origins of Spaff's particular choice of subject. Actually, Spaff mentioned that the woman named Kat, he was playing off that for the dog. And yeah. I'm curious, Mr. Lund, is there any subject Spaff might do that you wouldn't sing?
Probably not. We've written songs about.
Yes.
I'm gonna get my beep button out here. No, I don't, it's not. I probably got more of a twisted, demented kind of mind than he does. Actually, I don't know. I shouldn't say that. He's pretty wild. No, to answer the question, no, there's nothing he could write that I wouldn't sing. I've done some pretty fun stuff over the years.
Finally, catching up on numbers. I've been busy. First, Wildcard was indeed Fumpcast guest number 50 back on episode 60. Congrats. Maybe Mark Gunn can make it 51. Ian still rules at number one, although I checked and he's got over 20 weeks to go before he matches Steve Goody's run of 39 weeks at or tied for that position. Not much movement in the top five the last couple of weeks. Insane Ian increased his lead. Chris Mazzalesta moved up to a tie for number three with Steve Goody, to a tie from number three to number two with a tie with TV's Kyle. And Jesse Smith, number five, closed the gap a bit on Jace McClain, number four. Stay funny, Eclectic Lee Sites. All right, and that is it for feedback.
All righty. So, how about teasing at least one thing?
teasing. Tomorrow's song is posted, but I'm not going to tell you who it is because it's a new artist who hasn't posted a song before. Ooh.
Well, then why can't you won't even know who it is.
Oh, they, yeah. Oh, they will.
Oh, okay.
And Tuesday's song is by TV's Kyle. So, yay, Luke, you can finally talk about stuff with Kyle next week.
Hooray!
Yay, Kyle's been dying to talk about stuff with you, and you've been dying to talk with Kyle. I'm just gonna like sit back and eat ice cream next weekend, and you guys can chat the whole episode.
Yay, ice cream!
Woo! We all scream. Uh-oh.
So, any last minute plugs or anything from Mark Gunn?
And not to mention, don't go drinking with hobbits because it's a lot of fun. Markgun.com? Yeah. Not a whole lot. No.
All right. Anything else, Robert Lund?
No, just have everybody thinking about the Best Of CD coming out, and always go to the Fump and buy stuff, and spaff.com, robertlund.com.
Cool. Devo, you got anything else?
A migraine.
All right. And I'll just throw in one more quick plug. Like I said before, the Lukeski Top 50 poll, go to lukeski.com. You can find the link there, or to the fump.com. It's in the news area. So please help. If you like my stuff, let me know what your favorite songs of
mine are. Luke?
Yeah? Hello?
Silence.
Hello?
I'm there. You froze there for a minute.
Oh, okay. Well,
you're one out.
Weird. I guess my computer's reached the plugging yourself limit for this week, so let's just get out of here.
I've had that happen to me before, too. So.
Yes. Until next time, I'm Luke.
I'm Devo Spice.
And then Mark and Robert say things.
I'm Mark Gunn.
Thank you for listening to the Funny Music Podcast. You can listen live every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, at DementiaRadio.org. And join us in the chat or subscribe to the podcast feed. Look us up on iTunes and be sure to leave us a review. Feedback for the show can be sent to info@thefump.com. The Funny Music Podcast is a production of Fidem Interactive, LLC, released under a Creative Commons share-alike license. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Shout it to random people on the street. And be sure to visit thefump.com for the latest funny songs. Tune in next week, where you'll hear Luke Ski say,
"Oh, a drop of doggy blood won't do you any harm. A drop of doggy blood won't do you any harm. A drop of doggy blood won't do you any harm, unless people tell you to shut up about your cat."
Hey. You need auto harp in the background.
Right. Alrighty, well, I don't know what happened to Spaff.
I gotta say, Mark, you were the inspiration for one of my favorite songs on the Fump way back in the day. That was a funny song.
Which one?
God damn it, Mark Gunn.
Shut up about your cat. Yeah. That seems to be a favorite among Fumpers.
You know what I liked about it? It was because we, you know, the Fump artists can kind of, you know, interact and, you know, and with one another, yeah, with their material and stuff. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah. The greatest thing was that Shoebox and I got to perform that song live at Icon with Mark in the audience and a stunned audience. The audience loved it. The other half were like, "What the hell's going on?" And then Mark got up on stage and chased us off stage with his auto, you know, brandishing his auto harp. It was great.
Yeah, so that was the funnest thing about the song, Frank. That was really cool.
We still need to continue that rivalry too. I mean, we haven't done anything in a while. I've been meaning to follow that up, but you know, hasn't come yet.
All righty. Well, I'm going to hang up on you guys now. Thanks a lot.
Yep. See you later.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye bye. All right, and then I click stop like this.